الله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir this Wednesday, the 8th day of Ramadan, 1447 years after the hijrah of our noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. In this Masjid of the Aminat schools in Boso, behind Boso Primary School, Boso Local Government, Niger State of Nigeria, we shall inshallah ta'ala continue from where we stopped. The last verse we read was the fourth verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Surah Al-Ma'idah is the fifth chapter of the Noble Quran. In the fifth chapter, we're reading today inshallah ta'ala the fifth verse. I think we are through with the fourth verse, right?
No.
Uh-huh. So inshallah ta'ala today we shall read the fifth verse. What Allah says?
A'udhu billahi minash shaytani rajeem. Min hamzihi wa nafsihi wa nafsihi. Al-yawma uhilla lakum at-tayyibat. وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لهم وطعامهم حل لكم وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم وطعامكم حل لهم والمحصنات من المؤمنات والمحصنات من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم إذا آتيتموهن أجورهن محصنين غير مسافحين ولا متخذي أخدان ومن يكفر بالإيمان فقد حبط عمله وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين.
ليس كي تقيم الرعب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim min hamzihi wa nafthihi wa nafthi. Allah says, Al-yawma uhilla lakum at-tayyibat. Wa ta'amu alladhina utu al-kitaba hillun lakum wa ta'amukum hillun lahum. Wal-muhsanatu min al-muminati wal-muhsanatu min alladhina utu al-kitaba min qablikum idha ataytumuhunna ujurahunna muhsinin. محسنين غير مسافحين ولا متخذي أقدام ومن يكفر بالإيمان فقد حبط عمله وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. الله says اليوم أحل لكم الطيبات. This day have all good things been made halal for you. وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب and the and the food of those who were given the book, the people of the book, their food, حِلٌّ لَكُمْ, is permissible for you. وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ, and your own food is permissible to them. وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and then those who are chaste amongst the mu'minat. وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ, and the chaste amongst the people of the book. مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, before you. إِذَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ, if you give them their dowry. محصنين غير مسافحين, and you while you are chaste in doing that. ولا متخذي أخدان, you do not intend to either commit fornication or adultery with them, neither do you intend to just keep them as girlfriends. ومن يكفر بالإيمان, and whoever disbelieves while in Iman, while a Muslim, the person now becomes a kafir, فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ, then all of his good deeds, all of his ibadat, all of his deeds with which he hopes to earn reward, حَبِطَ, is all null and void now. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, or like our Qari recited, our Sheikh, وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. If you recite it as وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, then that ra'un will be مُرَقَّق. وَرَقَّقَ وَرْشٌ كُلَّ ra'in وَقَبْلَهَا مُسَكَّنَةٌ يَاءٌ أَوْ الْكَسْرُ مُوصَلًا. So, Allah Ta'ala Alam. And on the day of resurrection, he will be amongst the losers. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. May Allah distance us from them. So today we're entering another ruling that still has to do with what is halal and what is haram. Yet, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Al-Yawma Uhilla Lakum At-Tayyibat. You see, there is still repeats itself that whatever is good, is healthy for consumption, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal for you. So, of course, that we have always said, anything that's not healthy is haram. All the things that Allah has made haram are unhealthy. They are not good. Look at them, all of them. Even fornication. Look at fornication. It is non-Muslims today, the doctors amongst them, that are campaigning seriously and saying the best thing to do is to abstain from illicit sex. Abstain completely. The first minister we had in Nigeria who led that campaign was Olukoye Ransom Kuti. In his family, most of them are known to be atheists. They do not even believe in any God. But even if he was a Christian, he was very serious about that, that the best thing remains total abstinence. If you are going to have intercourse, intimacy with any woman, it should be your wife, your spouse, and she alone. He led that campaign, and he is a non-Muslim. So fornication, adultery, alcoholism, every doctor, whether he's a Muslim or non-Muslim now, they all believe alcohol is not good for the system. And they all tell you, leave alcohol, leave all drugs. And they seem to be counting alcohol amongst hard drugs now. And they are all classifying them together and saying, leave them, shun them, because they are harmful to health. If you want to preserve your kidney, if you want to preserve your liver, if you want to do this, if you want to do that, you have to abstain from all of that. Alhamdulillah ala ni'mat al-Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Yawma Uhilla Lakum At-Tayyibat. Ya'ani al-Zaba'ih ala ismillahi azza wa jal. Here Allah is particularly talking about all the animals that have been slaughtered, the animals you are allowed to eat. If they have been slaughtered using the name of Allah, if they have been slaughtered in the name of Allah, then they become at-tayyibat. So the one that was slaughtered in the name of Allah Ta'ala Uzza and all others, then those ones are haram. They are not tayyibat. They are min al-khaba'ir. But you will see an exception, insha'Allah Ta'ala. Those who will slaughter in the name of other than Allah, and yet some ulama still believe that it is permissible to eat. وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ. And the ta'am of those who are given the book, the people of the book, is halal for you. What does Allah mean by a ta'am? Because ta'am is food. Does it mean if they cook rice, cook beans, plantain, the fried plantain or whatever, all of those, they are permissible for you to eat? Or does it mean if there is fish inside or not? Does it mean if there is meat inside or not? Or is it their meat that is permissible for us to eat? Which one is Allah talking about? Our alim, Imam al-Baghawi, says, يُرِيدُ ذَبَائِحَ الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَى وَمَنْ دَخَلَ فِي دِينِهِمْ مِنْ سَائِرِ الْأُمَمِ قَبْلَ مَبْعَثِ النَّبِيِّ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. It says Allah means that the animals that the Yahud and the Nasara have slaughtered, as long as those animals are permissible for us to eat. Because of course it can be that if they slaughter a pig, that it will be permissible for us to eat. Can it? No, it can't. Or that if they slaughter a dog, it will be permissible for us to eat. Is it permissible? No, it's not. Or that if they slaughter a human being, is it permissible for us to eat? Is the answer that was given to somebody who says he believes only in the Quran, no hadith, says he slaughtered a dog and ate because the Quran did not say do not eat dog. Therefore, to him, dog is permissible. So the simple question he was asked was, did the Quran say, do not slaughter human beings? Is there anywhere the Quran said, do not slaughter human beings and eat? Huh? Did he say that? Good. So is it permissible that you slaughter human beings and eat? Because the Quran said, do not slaughter human beings? Huh? Of course the answer would be no. Did the Quran say, do not eat mosquito? Huh? It didn't say so. So can you slaughter mosquito and eat? Huh? The qaida is, أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And the dog is not amongst the tayyibat. It's as simple as that. But you see, when people say they do not need the hadith, they will have a lot of problems in understanding the Quran, because the Quran was not revealed unto them. It was revealed to somebody. That somebody to whom it was revealed, he explained it to his students and they understood. And they passed their understanding to us, which they were taught by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he says, the Zaba'ih of the Yahud and the Nasara, they are the Allazina Utul Kitab. What is smelling? I feel something is burning. Huh? Is it outside? Okay. I hope it's not one of your connections.
No.
So, if they slaughter any animal, the Yahud and the Nasara, they are the Ahlul Kitab. If they slaughter an animal which you are permitted to eat, min bahimatil an'am and the rest, all that you are permitted to eat. وَمَنْ دَخَلَ فِي دِينِهِمْ, the Yahud and the Nasara, and whoever accepted their deen, before the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then that person will be counted amongst Ahlul Kitab, even if he was not amongst the Banu Israel to whom Isa alayhi salatu wa salam was sent. Once the person had accepted Islam before the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once the person had accepted Christianity or Judaism before the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Imam al-Baghawi is saying that that person falls amongst the Ahlul Kitab. So, according to his view, anybody that is a Christian now is not amongst the Ahlul Kitab. Anybody that amongst the Christians now, that accepts it now, because he was not Christian at that time, he was not a Jew at that time, he will not be Ahlul Kitab now? No, that is not so. It's not true. Every person that answers the name of their deen today is counted as theirs. But if the person was a Muslim and then he committed the Ridda, then of course he is not min Ahlul Kitab. That's a murtad, and he has his ruling in Islam. I hope this is understood. So, وَمَنْ دَقَلَ فِي دِينِهِمْ مِنْ سَائِرِ الْأُمَمِ قَبْلَ مَبْعَثِ النَّبِي مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى السَّلَّمِ حَلَالٌ لَكُمْ. So, if such people slaughter a goat, a ram, sheep, cow, camel, you can eat. فَأَمَّا مَنْ دَخَلَ فِي دِينِهِمْ بَعْدَ مَبْعَثِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَلَا تَحِلُّ ذَبِيحَتُهُ وَلَوْ ذَبَحَ يَهُودِيٌّ أَوْ نَصْرَانِيٌّ عَلَى اسْمِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ كَالنَّصْرَانِي يَذْبَحُ بِاسْمِ الْمَسِيحِ فَاخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. Now he says, but anybody who entered their deen after Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ had been sent, he was not amongst them. He entered the deen after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent. Then it will not be acceptable from him. So if he was a Muslim and he went back to the deen, that will not be acceptable. If he was a Majusi or any of those people in Mecca, the idol worshippers, and then after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent as a prophet, he was in idol worship, then he decided that he is now going to Christianity after Islam, it will not be he will not be accepted, admitted amongst the Ahlul Kitab. He will not be called Ahlul Kitab. So if he slaughters any animal, it will not be eaten. Is this understood? Waraqa bin Nawfal was amongst them before the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was amongst the Ahlul Kitab, but he accepted Islam. And so the most accepted view is that he is a Sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though there are some who give the condition that you have to stay long as a Sahabi, as a believer in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before you are accepted as a Sahabi, but that is not acceptable. One, you see him, you believe in him, you die a Muslim, you are a Sahabi. And so Waraqa was amongst them, because he was min Ahlul Kitab before the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he had accepted their deen after the coming of Muhammad, he would not have been counted amongst the Ahlul Kitab. It doesn't mean, however, that all of these Ahlul Kitab now, that they are not Ahlul Kitab because they came after Muhammad. No, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, it's not so. I hope this is understood. They have the hukum of Ahlul Kitab. وَلَوْ ذَبَحَ يَهُودِيٌّ أَوْ نَصْرَانِيٌّ عَلَى اسْمِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ كَالنَّصْرَانِي يَذْبَحُ بِاسْمِ الْمَسِيحِ. If a Yahudi or a Nasrani, that is a Jew or a Christian, I hope we understand when we say Jew. We are not talking about the Zionists. The Zionists, those impostors in Israel today, in Israel today who call themselves Jews. They are not Jews. And you know there are Orthodox Jews that are opposed to them, and they are always telling the world that the Zionists are not amongst them. They are not Jews. The Jews, you find them plaiting their hair, one this side, one the other side. And most of them are bearded. They keep their beards, they don't shave their beards, and they wear some hats like that and things like that. So there are ways you can know them, you can recognize them. But the Satan Yahud and his cohorts, those ones are not Jews. So even if you find yourself in Philistine anytime, and such people slaughter, you will not eat, because those ones are not Jews. They are not amongst the Ahlul Kitab. So, but if a Yahudi, a Jew, or a Nasrani, a Christian, slaughters a ram, sheep, goat, and so on, and calls the name of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and slaughters, or the Jew calls the name of Musa or the name of Uzair or any other name that's not Allah, and then slaughters, can we eat? The ulama are divided on this. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu al-Faruq, he says, la yahillu, if they call the name of other than Allah, it is not permissible. Umar al-Khattab al-Qurashi, that's his opinion. That's the way he understands the Sunnah. Umar ibn Abdullah al-Faykawi also believes that. وهو قول ربيعة. ربيعة الرأي is one of the teachers of Al-Imam Malik bin Anas. Now Imam Malik bin Anas, I was going through a list of his teachers, people who taught him. And I saw that people that were named in that book were about 280 something that he learned from. How many teachers do we have? How many teachers have we learned from? Imam Malik bin Anas, 280 something. Subhanallah. Rabi'at al-Ra'yi was one of them. And it was said that his mother said, go to him and learn his character. Learn his wisdom, learn from his virtues before you learn his deeds. Because he was a very virtuous man. So character is the deen. So we must work very hard on our character. Because our character is a good measure of our deen. If you have the deen, but you don't have character, there is a problem. There is a big problem. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّدُوهُ. If somebody whose piety you trust, and also whose character you trust. Some people are pious, they are religious, they practice the deen, they shun haram, you know, they hold on to wajib, they don't joke with it, and so on. They hold on to the sunnah. But their character, their compass, their arrogance, they are vulgar when they talk, and things like that. These ones, there's a problem with their sunnah. Even though their trousers are off in accordance with the sunnah, they keep the beard, but there is a great part of the sunnah that they have neglected. And that is al-haya'u min al-iman, wal-imanu min al-jannah. Al-haya' is part of good character. They are all the teachings of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Or they are miserly. When they have, they do not give. They hold on to themselves. You can hardly count any person they have given anything significant. This is a problem with their deen. And so many other things. So character is very important for somebody who wants to hold on to the deen. It's not only that you pray the way the Prophet prayed, you wear your clothes the way the Prophet was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are all good. But you have to add good character. So you are not rude when you talk to people. You are polite when you talk. You greet people when you pass by them. You don't care what their ranks are. Even if they are children, you are still humble enough to pass by children and say, Assalamu alaikum. If you have the time, you even shake their hand. You carry some of them and rub their head, especially the orphans amongst them. You rub their head. And then if you have space in your house, you accommodate some of the orphans. All of these are part of the deen. So Rabi'atul Ra'i also had this view. وَذَهَبَ أَكْثَرُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ إِلَىٰ أَنَّهُ يَحِلُّ. But most ulama lean towards the school of thought that if a non-Muslim, a Jew, sorry, not just a non-Muslim, if a Jew or a Christian slaughters a ram and says in the name of Jesus or in the name of Uzair or in the name of Paul, anything, even though they do not consider Paul a god, but if they say in the name of Jesus or in the name of the Holy Spirit, or maybe the Catholic will say in the name of Mary, if they slaughter like that, most ulama say it is permissible to eat. But Umar ibn Khattab, Rabi'atul Ra'i, and others that he has not mentioned, also have the view that it is not permissible. And this is the closest to the truth. وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ. Because وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ is general. طَعَامُ generally. But does it mean if they slaughter pig, you can eat? No, but it's general. It didn't say, it just says they are ta'am. Whatever they slaughter, whatever they eat, you can eat. But of course, you know it's not everything. So part of that exception is that if they slaughter in the name of other than Allah, you should not eat. So Allah Ta'ala A'lam. Wa huwa qawlu al-Sha'bi, and this is, this last opinion that it is permissible is the opinion of Al-Imam al-Sha'bi, Ata bin Abi Rabah, Al-Imam al-Zuhri, wa al-Makhul. سئل الشعبي ومكحول عن المصراني يذبح باسم المسيح قال الإمام المكحول and الإمام الشعبي they were asked concerning the Christian who slaughtered in the name of المسيح that is عيسى عليه الصلاة والسلام قال they said يحل they said it is permissible in their opinion فإن الله تعالى قد أحل ذبائحهم because Allah سبحانه وتعالى has made permissible all that they slaughter. And since He has made permissible all that they slaughter, then even if they slaughter in the name of other than Allah, you can eat. But of course, like we said, if they slaughter the pig, we cannot eat. If they slaughter the dog, we cannot eat. If they slaughter other things that are around for us, we cannot eat. So it's not all their slaughter. It's the things that are permissible for us that we can eat from them if they slaughter. But it doesn't include things that are slaughtered in the name of other than Allah, because that has been made haram for us, and so it's not part of the things we can eat from them. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. نعم. He says, وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَقُولُونَ even though Allah knows what they say. They said Allah made their zaba'ih halal for us even though He knows what they say. وَقَالَ الْحَسَنَ الْحَسَنَ الْبَصْرِي said, إِذَا ذَبَحَ الْيَهُودِيُّ أَوِ النَّصْرَانِيُّ فذكر اسم غير الله وانت تسمع فلا تاكله. So you see how ulama were disagreeing. Al-Hasan al-Basri was a student of Aisha radiallahu anha. And she used to praise him a lot. And she used to say that he had the wisdom almost of, you know, that is reminiscent of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he says, if a Yahudi, a Jew, or a Christian slaughters an animal that you are allowed to eat, but he slaughters in the name of other than Allah, and you hear him, do not eat that. فَإِذَا غَابَ عَنْكَ فَقُلْ فَقَدْ أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ. But if you did not get that, you did not hear what he said, he just slaughtered, you can eat. So this is talking about animals they slaughter ordinarily. They slaughter for food, to eat. Do we understand this? We are not yet talking about the ones they slaughter for festivals. We are not talking about those here. قَوْلُهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ. And then your food is permissible to them. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be saying this is halal for the non-Muslim? Is it halal in the first place for him to be a non-Muslim? Huh? Is it halal for anybody to be a non-Muslim? No, it's not. Allah does not permit it. Everybody is supposed to be a Muslim. Do you understand? كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. The taqdeer is that فَاخْتَلَفُوا فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّينَ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ. Is after they had gone against the teachings of the Prophet that they became kuffar. If not, everybody was a Muslim. So everybody was made to be a Muslim. Do we understand? That's why Allah says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. So, but Allah says, وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ, that your food is permissible for them. What does it mean? As the judge has given an answer to this question, says ma'anahu, the meaning of that statement is halalun lakum an tut'imuhum, it is permissible for you to give them your food. That's what it means. As for them, they don't have halal wal haram. In the first place, they have gone out of those persons because they are now Christians or they are Jews, or in short, they are non-Muslims. Therefore, there is no halal or haram for them. Everything for them goes. There is no ruling on them because they are not Muslims. So, but when Allah says your food is permissible to them, it means it is permissible for you to give them your food. So if you have a Christian neighbor who needs your food, in this case, if he needs it, it's not permissible, it is compulsory. It is compulsory that you give them. Because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى جَارِكَ. In a riwayah, تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنَا. In another riwayah, تَكُنْ مُسْلِمَا. The one that says تَكُنْ مُسْلِمَا is even more serious. You will be a Muslim, that's the first level of Iman. If you are good to your neighbor. And one of the ways you can be good to your neighbor is that if you cook, you have good soup in your house, and they perceive the aroma, then let them taste it too. So you slaughter chicken in your house, let them have a wing or a lap or something. Or you have good fish in your house, you fried it, they have perceived the aroma, let them have some of it. Especially if they need it. If they are not needy, maybe they even have something better than you. In that case, you don't have to. But if they need it, they are hungry, then you must feed them with it. So this ruling that you be good to your neighbors is general. They don't have to be Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will give them your food. It's permissible for them, meaning it's permissible for you to give them your food. So if you slaughter for Eid al-Adha, or you slaughter for Atiqah, for any reason, you can give them some of the meat, if they are your neighbors. So, فَيَكُونُ خَطَابُ الْحِلِّ مَعَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَقِيلٌ لِأَنَّهُ ذَكَرَ عَقِيبَهُ حُكْمًا لِسَاءً. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some say that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you can marry their women, the women are permissible for you. So he now says what you slaughter is also permissible for them. وَلَنْ يَذْكُرْ حِلَّ الْمُسْلِمَاتِ لَهُمْ. But he did not mention that your women are permissible for them. But what you slaughter is what is permissible for them. But your women are not permissible for them. Therefore, it's not permissible for the non-Muslim to marry a Muslimah, whether he be a Christian or a Jew. It's not permissible. So somebody asked the Sheikh, how is it a Christian asked the Sheikh, why is it that their women are permissible for us Muslims? That's a Christian asking the Sheikh now. Why is it that Christian women are permissible for Muslim men, but Muslim women are not permissible for Christian women and men? He said it's simple. If you want, he says, your women are permissible for me because I believe in Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and I respect him, and I cannot be a Muslim until I believe that he is the spirit of Allah, that he is the word of Allah, which he inspired Maryam with, and then she gave birth. Until you believe that, you are not a Muslim. So he says, that's why I can marry your daughter, because I believe in what she believes. If you want to marry my daughter, believe in the prophethood of Muhammad, and then you can marry my daughter. He said, no, I will not. And I say, well, so you have denied yourself the right to marry my daughter, because you are not ready to believe what I believe. But I believe in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, so it's permissible for me to marry your daughter. That is just logical. Huh? That is just using logic. That's not a hadith. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said it is permissible, and so it is permissible. Then wal muhsanatu min al mu'minat. Wal muhsanatu min al mu'minat wal muhsanatu min alladhina utul kitaba min qablikum. هذا راجع إلى الأول منقطعا عن قوله وطعامكم حل لهم. So all those women amongst the non-Muslims that are chaste, the ones that are chaste amongst them, the ones that are not married to somebody else, you are not marrying somebody's wife, it's not that she's already married to a Christian. No, this is all part of the tahsin. It's not that she's married to somebody. No. She's not a prostitute. She's not lewd. All these, you know, are all part of the meaning of muhsanat. If she's a Jew or a Christian and she's chaste, and she's not married, she's not attached to anyone, she's not the slave girl of anybody, then you can marry her. She's halal for you, just like their food is halal for you. They are also halal for us to marry. But ours are not halal for them to marry. So our women are not halal for them, but our food is halal for them. But then, what is the meaning of al-muhsanat? There are differences between our ulama. ذهب أكثر العلماء إلى أن المراد منهن الحرائر What most ulama have as an opinion is that muhsanat refers only to those who are not slaves. They are not slaves, and of course they are not married to anyone. وَأَجَازُ نِكَاحَ كُلِّ حُرَّةٍ. So any girl amongst them that is not a slave girl, and of course is not married to anyone, it, they say it's halal to marry, whether she be chaste or not. مُؤْمِنَةً كَانَتْ أَوْ كِتَابِيَّةً. Whether she is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, to them is the same. لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى فَمِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِنْ فَتَيَاتِكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. But then they also say, some say, if a girl is a slave girl, it is permissible to marry her أَنْ تَكُونَ مُؤْمِنَةً, that is amongst the Muslims, if she is a mu'mina. وَجَوَّزَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ أكثرهم نكاح الأمة الكتابية الحربية. But most ulama say if she is a slave girl and she is a Yahudi or Nasrani, but she is the, amongst the Harbiya, the ones that are fighting the Muslims, then it is permissible to marry her if she is a slave girl. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, La yajuz, is not permissible. And then he read, قَاتِلُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ إِلَىٰ قَوْلِهِ حَتَّى يُعْطَ الْجِزْيَةَ عَنْ يَدٍ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ فَمَنْ أَعْطَ الْجِزْيَةَ حَلَّ لَنَا نِسَاءُ. So any of them that pay jizya, then their women are permissible for us, according to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُعْطِهَا فَلَا يَحِلُّ لَنَا نِسَاءُ. But whoever has not come under us and is not giving us jizya, then their women are not permissible for us. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ أَعْلَمُ. وَذَهَبَ قَوْمٌ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ الْمُرَادَ مِنَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ فِي الْآيَةِ الْعَفَائِفِ مِنَ الْطَرِيقَيْنِ. So but some went, their understanding is that if they are chaste, like I said earlier, if they are chaste, they are not prostitutes, they are not known to be lewd and so on or promiscuous, then this ayah applies to them. They are muhsanat minhunna. So wallahu ta'ala alam, these are the disagreements amongst the ulama concerning this matter. Al-afa'if min al-fariqayn. Hara'ir kunna aw ima'an. Whether they are free girls, I mean, that is, they are not slaves, or they are slaves, is the same. Wa ajazu nikah al-amati al-kitabiyya. And to them, it is permissible to marry the slave girl that is a Christian or a Jew. Wa harramu al-baghaya min al-mu'minati wal-kitabiyyat. And to them, if a woman, even if a girl is a Muslimah, but if she is known to be a prostitute, or she is known to be promiscuous, then you do not marry such a person. وَهُوَ قَوْلُ الْحَسَنِ. And this is also the opinion of Al-Hasan al-Basri. وَقَالَ الشَّعْبِي إِحْسَانُ الْكِتَابِيَّةِ أَن تَسْتَعِفْقَ مِنَ الزِّنَا وَتَغْتَسِلَ مِنَ الْجَنَابَةِ. So, but if a girl is a kitabiyya, but she now decides that she wants to marry a Muslim, what she must do first of all is she must keep away from zina. So she was promiscuous, but now she has changed. That's one. So, this is the opinion of Imam al-Shafi'i, that she must change first of all, and this is from that hadith. And then secondly, she will have to perform ghusl al-janaba. Because, of course, she has had sexual intercourse before. Say she is a prostitute or she is known to be promiscuous. So you don't need any evidence that she has had sexual intercourse before. Now that she wants to marry, she must perform غسل الجنابه. If she performs غسل الجنابه, is she seeking reward with it? Is she going to be rewarded by Allah? Huh? While she is a Christian or a Jew, does the Jew obtain any reward from Allah or a Christian? Huh? الذين كفروا أعمالهم كسراب بقيعة يحسبه الظمآن ماء. All those who are non-Muslims, their good deeds, their acts of ibadah, anything they do to seek reward, كسراب is like the mirage and the Sahara, the open land of the Nol. If you have, you know Nol, K-N-O-L-L. You know it? Which language are you? Huh? Bali? Okay, you know it, ma? You know it, ma? Huh? That's Nol. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all their good deeds, anything they do for the sake of reward, they say it's like the mirage on the smart. Huh? So it's like a mirage on the north. If you see the north and there's a mirage on it, what do you think it looks like? It looks like water. I think there is water on it. You know, somebody told me the word that is used for mirage in Bari, but I've forgotten. Does any of you remember? Huh? I was once told when I was going to translate it in the Quran. I put it there, but now I've forgotten what I wrote there. Huh? Does anybody remember? You know, you see it on the road, on the coulta. It's as if one is very sunny, like that, as if it's water. There's a name somebody told me in Bari, but I forgot. Huh? You have forgotten too. So Allah says that all their good deeds are like that. حتى إذا جاءه, but when he gets to that mirage, لم يجده شيئا. You find that there's nothing there. So this similitude is saying, any good deed from anybody who does not believe in Allah and the Messenger of Allah is null and void. So they don't have a reward. So if you say she will perform ghusl janaba when she marries a Muslim, is she going to be rewarded? Because ghusl janaba is an act of ibadah. So this kind of opinion is opposed. And so the ulama say, if you marry a kitabiyah and you sleep with her, it's not compulsory that she perform ghusl janaba. It's compulsory on you, but it's not compulsory on her, because she has no reward for any act of ibadah. Do you understand? Just like you cannot say she should keep away from salah when she's high, because in the first place she doesn't pray. So after her haid, you cannot say she must have ghusl haid before you can sleep with her, because she doesn't have the reward. The only thing you can say is wash away the blood so that there is no impurity again before I can sleep with you. You can say that because that's going to affect you physically. But after she has washed that you say she must perform ghusl janaba, is she going to be rewarded for it? No. Huh?
No.
Uh-huh. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. So you get rewards for all those acts of ibadah with the niyyah. In the first place, there is no ikhlas, there is no belief in Allah, so the issue of the niyyah has fallen apart. Wallahu ta'ala. We'll stop here because we've been told it's time. So we answer questions and then we'll continue tomorrow. I was hoping that we'll be able to finish with the ayah today. This one says, is it permissible to pray behind an imam that practices shirk? If you are sure he practices shirk, you are saying he's a mushrik. If you are saying he's a mushrik, how can you pray behind a mushrik? Huh? You cannot pray behind a mushrik. So if you are sure that he's practicing is shirk, he's associating partners with Allah, maybe he slaughters for other than Allah, or he's a fortune teller, or he's a diviner, or he's a soothsayer, and all those things like that. مَنْ أَتَى كَاهِنًا أَوْ عَرَّافًا فَصَدَّقَهُ بِمَا يَقُولُ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. So if the one that visits him and believes what he says is a kafir, how about the person that is saying the thing itself? He's a worse kafir, isn't it? So if you know he's engaging in any of these, then of course he's not qualified to lead Muslims in Salah. And you must tell the people that are praying behind him that it's not permissible to pray behind this person. Whether they believe or not is another thing, but you must tell them. مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا وَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ. Is fasting compulsory also for a believing person who just lost a person in the month of Ramadan? People believe erroneously that if you cry while fasting, that the fasting is null and void. I've known some women like that who are eating during Ramadan because they cry. Because they were told that somebody died and they cried. So after crying, they just went and got food and started eating, believing that their fast is null and void. It is not true. That your grieving does not exempt you from fast at all. There is nowhere in the hadith of the Quran where it is said that if you are grieving, you should not fast. No. It's not one of the reasons for refusing to fast. So you must fast even if you are grieving. I hope I've answered that question. This one says, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. May Allah reward you abundantly with goodness. Ameen. And you too. You previously said that we can eat the meat killed by non-believers as long as it wasn't killed for their celebration purposes. Does this apply even if they call the name of other than Allah on it when slaughtering? I think we just answered that question today. So if you are listening, I'm sure you have heard the answer in the tafsir. Some ulama say you can, some ulama say you cannot. This one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Says, may Allah, may Almighty Allah preserve you upon khair. Ameen. And you too. If a woman spends from her husband's money, which is earned from riba, will she be sinning as well? No, she will not. He is the one that is eating haram. She is eating halal. Because it is compulsory on him to feed her. Do we understand? So she doesn't even have to know how he earns his money. So she doesn't have to investigate to find out this is halal, this is haram. If he gives her money, it is right. But if she knows that he's doing something terrible to earn money, she should warn him. She should preach to him. But it is compulsory that he take care of her. So if he brings money to take care of her children, to take care of her, she can take it, but she must continue to warn him against that haram that he takes. The problem with haram earning is that somebody earns halal and he earns haram. You cannot separate the two. You don't know which one is the haram, which one is the halal. So you can't say it's completely haram now. You can also not say it's completely halal. But if you are one of his dependents, then of course he must feed you, he must take care of you. I hope I've answered this question. So she will not be sinning too. But if she preaches to him and he refuses to hearken to her voice, then she must leave him. If he does not stop any haram, she must leave him. If not, it will eventually affect her. This one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If one is asthmatic and the person has an attack of asthma while fasting, does the use of inhaler mitigate the fasting? No, it doesn't. The use of inhaler, like the ulama say, does not mitigate the fast, because the inhaler does not go to the stomach. It goes to the lungs only. It doesn't nourish. So it is permissible and it does not mitigate the fast. Just like injections, most injections do not mitigate the fast unless they are injections that will nourish you, will take away hunger or thirst. Then those ones will vitiate your fast. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Says, Jazakumullahu khairan wa antum fa jazakumullahu khairan. This one says, I think this is the last one. May Allah reward me abundantly with goodness. I mean, and you too. Can you elaborate to a layman on how to quantify Mudin Nabi for Qibya? I'm having difficulties on how to measure it. Okay, Mudin Nabi, if you do not have the mud that has been measured, you get somebody of average height and somebody that is not fat and is not very slim. Somebody on the average, like me. Huh? Why are you laughing? Eh? Am I not average? Eh? In America, I'm among short people, though. Eh? Okay, you get the average person, and the person would keep their palms like this, such that the palms will be able to contain whatever is poured on there without being wasted. So if you fold the palms like this, and then you fill them to the brim, that is Mudin Nabi. That's estimated to be Mudin Nabi. And so it should be the equivalent. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. If you do not have the grain in your area, then some ulama say you can get its equivalent in money. Some ulama. Some say there is nothing like naira equivalent. If there is no grain, that is all. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها والله تعالى أعلم. Have I answered that question? I think that's all we have now. So we'll close like that. Okay, it's actually time. So, I observed yesterday that our alim, our sheikh, and he's also our qari this year, I was not feeling too fine. I don't know if it's well now, but at least we should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him good health and also millions of halal. Huh? You want to? Say this, my. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal all Muslims who are ill. And those who are well, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in wellness. And may he provide us with halal so that we never have to ask anybody. Instead, we'll be amongst those who give. Bi rahmatihi wa huwa arhamur rahimin. May Allah return security to our land. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expose all those who are behind all those killings. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgrace them. May he restore peace to our nation. May he restore well-being to our nation. May he restore our wealth, our good economy, and so on. And at the end of the day, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also forgive our parents who have died before us and all other Muslims. And we who are alive, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end our lives on iman, in the kalimat al-shahada. اللهم اغفر لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا، ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you.